Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oi! The boys on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes tales are quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
You're listening to Footy Prime News and Such, your one-stop destination for footy news and such. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Hey there, football fans. It's News and Such on Footy Prime. We're back with you once again. We had some pre-pod discussions, and I'm concerned about the energy levels today. I won't lie to you. Dunlop hasn't said a word so far. B, you look like shit. What's going on? Late night for you?
No, I'm just, you know, making this machine run. I'm fine.
You don't sound fine at all.
You go to bed like at 3 a.m, don't you?
Why are we discussing our poor sleeping habits and insomnia?
Well, it looks as though you got up like 30 seconds ago.
I was the first one on the link, man.
Did you go back
to bed after you linked in?
No, hey. I went and put the recycling bins out because I forgot, and then I heard the truck and I went, shit. So that's what it was.
He's starting to look like a chia pet.
You're just jealous of the volume I have with this hair. Like, you've got a good thing going, but you're risk averse. You're afraid to let it grow long because you know it's probably not going to be as good. And you're going to need more maintenance.
I got a big head. I can't have big long hair.
Brendan.
I'm going to grow mine long. I'll look like Hulk Hogan.
Anyway, everyone, after that, great intro. I miss JC's intros. Jesus Christ, JC. We need more than once a week because this is terrible so far. But listen, let's get into the weekend action. We have a guest on today. He's a good mate of mine. I work with him every day at the parlay. He's becoming the voice of all things Tronto FC in this market. He's shaking his head, but he really is. You can find him on Tronto Till I Die, Wake in the Red, Tunnel Club. You know what? He does it all. He's the newsbreaker for all things TFC in this city of ours. It's Michael. He's so honored.
Your internet fucking sucks. Start over. Start the fucking show over.
No, this is perfect. Michael was just going to get the best intro ever. And then you said Michael and it lagged.
Wait, hold on. Is Michael like Cher? You just have the one name or Madonna kind of thing?
Let me try again. Michael Singh. Is that better? Trouble is, we're actually sharing the same internet right now, so this doesn't bode very well. Mikey, welcome to Footy Prime for the first time. You must be really honored to be on the show.
Very honored. I'm wondering what I got myself into right now after these first opening minutes, but so happy to be here, James.
We're always wondering what we got ourselves into.
You were so excited you spent the night at Sharm's last night.
No, we actually have jobs and we're working. Unlike everyone else in this goddamn show.
Oh.
Listen, let's get right into TFC, shall we, Mikey? You know, we've gone it. Every week, it seems, there's a new story with this club. It's been an amazing summer. When this season kicked off, did you expect it to go quite the way it has with so many signings and big signings?
When it kicked off, no. No, I didn't, honestly. I knew there'd be some turnover, especially with Jozy Altidore's situation and just the direction that the club was heading. I knew they would probably make at least one big splash, But the fact that they've now said goodbye to, what is it, like 22 players that were on the roster last season, I feel like, I don't have the record book in front of me, but I feel like that's pretty unprecedented in Major League Soccer to just turn your roster over by that much. So yeah, it's been quite the season, James, as you know, as we've discussed quite a bit. And I think exciting for the fan base is, you know, new faces, star names, big star potential, some Canadian internationals. It's a good direction. It feels like the club is now heading in after this sort of reset.
Do you think, Mike, that they have it in them to make the playoffs? I mean, they've left themselves a big hole. I mean, they've got some ground to make up, of course, but it's tight.
It is tight, Greg. But 10 points back with, or sorry, 10 games remaining, 4 points back. A lot of teams to leapfrog over.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the team has started to come together, the pieces that they've added, they look, honestly, even though they've drawn against the Vancouver Whitecaps and drawn at New England, they look like one of the better teams in Major League Soccer right now. One mm-hmm. of the things James left us, I cover the league for MLS as well, and I've watched a lot of different teams play. I've watched the best teams play, and I honestly say TFC right now can hang with the best teams. But there's little margin for error because the hole that they sort of dug themselves in. Is it possible? I think absolutely. Will they do it? I'm not writing them off just yet. I think there is potential.
If they do, you got to think that that would be momentum going into the playoffs, which we always talk about as the biggest thing. So they would obviously have that because they would need it to make the playoffs.
Yeah, like Sounders 2016 sort of vibes right now.
Right.
When Sounders obviously got hot the second half of the year. And from that point on, they caught fire and they had that momentum. Well, this weekend, Craig, like TFC's facing one of those really hot teams in Major League Soccer. So it'll be a good test. They're facing the Portland Timbers, who haven't lost a game since, I believe, May. It's a 10-game unbeaten run heading into this weekend, where TFC are, what, 3 games unbeaten in the league. So it'll be a really good test for them. And I think this game upcoming could potentially be a massive one when we look back at it at the end of the season to see where TFC sort of end up here. But yeah, if they get in, I'll put them up against anybody, especially when you have that star power.
Hey, what do you think about Insigne? You know, against the Whitecaps, he was a little bit quiet. New England, a little bit quiet. Nashville, you started to see a little bit more out of him. He got his first goal. He's off the mark now. Do you think that's him ready to open up the floodgates now and start banging into goals, or do you think it's going to take him a little bit more time to settle in?
Yeah, that's a great question. And when I look at Insigne, and everyone's quick to make the comparison to Sebastian Giovinco, and Insigne is going to come over here and be sort of like Giovinco. He's another small Italian player, obviously has really high pedigree from what he's accomplished both with the national team and with Napoli. But the more that I see him, he's completely different. He's a type of player that likes to involve his teammates a lot. He likes to bring his teammates into the game, whereas Giovinco would go on these really direct sort of slalom runs more often than not, maybe an individual piece of brilliance, whereas Insigne likes to, like I said, link up with his teammates a little bit more. So I'm actually, when I look at Insigne, I don't really look for the goals. Obviously, as we saw on Saturday, he does have the spectacular in him. But the way I sort of evaluate his play is how much better he's making his teammates around him. What sort of penetrating passes is he making to, you know, maybe link up with a Jesus Jimenez or even across to Bernadeschi or Mark Anthony Kay or Ozo in the middle. I think that's the best way of sort of evaluating Insigne. I think the goals will come naturally because he's just that type of player and he gets himself in dangerous situations. But I think overall, he hasn't been too bad for me, even though the goals haven't been going in.
Do you know when you look at Insigne as well, he's got this massive price tag on him. Do you think the fans, and I understand what you're saying, you know, he's looking to bring people into play, but do you think the fans are saying, well, this is a guy that should be scoring, you know, 17 to 22 goals a season?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, maybe it's a little bit of what Giovinco brought as a designated player, and even just designated player attackers in Major League Soccer. Typically, they're the ones who put the ball in the back of the net. You pay for goals in this league. It's been that way for a very long time. I think TFC here are building something a little bit different. I think they're trying to build a more complete team from top to bottom. I think they're trying to build something that's closer to what we're seeing in Europe in terms of it's not just the one players who are stepping up and steal, being the spectacular and stealing the show. It's now going to be a team that I think across four or five, you look at what Jonathan Osorio is doing, Jesus Jimenez can score, Bernadeschi and Sinne, of course. Look what Michael Bradley did a couple nights ago. I don't think we'll see that again this season or maybe ever in his career, but they now have, I think, a bunch of people now that can find the back of the net. And I think they're trying to build a team as opposed to sort of that one player type of show. But in terms of what fans are expecting, yeah, I think they are expecting Insigne to score 15 to 20 goals every season.
Remember when Julian de Guzman came over? I mean, he was never a goal scorer, but people expected him to score goals, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you're an MLS. Yeah.
That was also Mo Johnston in charge. Right. He signed an attacking midfielder, so he thought, and it turns out he had one great Gold Cup as an attacking midfielder, but wasn't an attacking midfielder.
Nope. That's a midfielder.
This is before they had different recruiting tools, though. There was no transfermarket.com. They just had YouTube.
And you think 20 players as a turnover? We had 60, I think, in one season.
There was a lot that Aaron Winter season. That Aaron Winter season as well. There was a million.
That didn't exist.
Big deal.
I thought they it's officially that was erased from history, wasn't it? The Aaron Winter season. It's like 1984. They go back in history to the books and just erase chunks of history, because we don't need to remember that season. As lovely as Aaron was, and he was lovely, ask Danny Kovermans, he'll tell you it wasn't a very good team. It was actually the worst team in the world, wasn't it?
You mentioned
Jesus Jimenez, and the thought was that he was the solution up front, and as we discussed this week, Mikey, you know, he did invest a lot of money in that player this offseason. Mm-hmm. And he's in a bit of a drought right now. It's a bad drought. What is your gut telling you? What is the long-term solution to Jimenez? Is he going to be here next year, or will they use that final DP spot for some more goals up front?
My gut is telling me that he will be here next year. I think the better question is what's going to happen with Io Akinola and his future here at Toronto FC. I think if anything, if the way the season plays out, Jesus doesn't refine his form, then I think, yeah, you have to look at bringing in another striker. I'm not sure if that's a DP or not, because I think that's more dependent on what happens with Ozo here and whether or not he decides to move on from the club, because then I think you have to spend on a central midfielder. But if Jesus doesn't refine his form, you do need to bring in another attacker. And I think the best commodity right now is Io Akinola in terms of, or currency, in terms of getting a different piece on the roster. So, yeah, I think Jesus will turn around. I think one of the reasons they brought in Jesus is because they believed he would link up very well with Lorenzo Insigne. So far, it's been – he had a really good game against Charlotte and then dropped off since. One goal in his last 15 games. We talk about, you know, DPs and bringing the goals. Well, your number nine obviously needs to score, and he's just not doing it at the rate he needs to be doing it right now. So – maybe Io Akinola gets a run to try and steal that starting number nine job. We'll see how it plays out, but I do have faith in Jesus, and I think he'll turn it around.
When you look at a striker as well, the one thing that they do rely on is service. Yeah. Is he getting the service that he's required for him to score these goals?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a different type of service that he's getting now than what he was getting before. I think that's the biggest adjustment for him right now. He was obviously feeding off Pozuelo and linking up very well with his fellow Spaniard. As Pozuelo's service is 10 out of 10, fantastic. He's a great number 10, I think, in the league. The service that he's getting right now is more, he's being brought into the play a little bit more, I think. I think he's being asked to link up a little bit more with Insigne and Bernadeschi. It's no longer just the one ball that is penetrating the defense. It's now multiple that they're trying to, I guess, use to break down a defense. So it's a different type of service. Is he getting this? I think he needs to put himself in better positions, to be honest with you. I think he needs to make better runs. I think he needs to move a little bit more. I don't think he's mobile enough right now. I think when you have players like Bernardeschi and Insigne who are capable of providing that final pass, you need to be the guy who's like a workhorse. You need to be a guy who's willing to make those runs. Even if you don't get the ball the first time, you need to just keep going. So I think it's more so on him than it is the service.
Do you think it's just him adjusting, though, to the way that they're playing? Because the elevation is tremendous. Like in that Charlotte game alone, I actually thought Jimenez is going to bag 10 goals the rest of the season, just the way that the rest of the team was moving. But I can see now a few games in how he's still trying to find his place. It's almost as if they're so fluid, he has no idea where to be.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. He needs to figure out where exactly he needs to be and what types of runs he needs to make. I mean, it's unrealistic to expect anybody to just make run after run after run after run. That's just not the way human beings work in general if you're not getting the ball every time. But he needs to pick his moments and play, I think, a little bit more within the goalposts. I think that's where he'll be able to do his most damage. And it's ironic because I think the reason TFC brought him in is because they like the idea of him drifting out and connecting with Insigne out on the left wing. I'm not sure if that's actually how you get the best out of Jesus Jimenez, personally. So I think he does need to find his role within those guys now. And yeah, I guess we'll see how it plays. I believe in him. I think he's got quality. There is question marks about whether or not he was the right guy to bring in, the right type of player, at least, to bring in at this time for those guys.
It seems very much now that it's Bob's club, right? And over recent years, Greg Vanney era was great. There's a certain presence there, I suppose. But Bob Bradley seems to have a real presence about him. Is there any doubt when you walk into that club nowadays that he is the main man, he is the guy in charge?
He is the guy in charge, yes, on sort of an everyday basis. What I do have doubts about is whether he'll stay on as head coach for a prolonged period of time. I wonder right now, so he's head coach and sporting director, obviously. I wonder if there is a part of him that does decide, maybe sooner than people would expect, does decide to just go to sporting director. It's interesting too, because when it comes to DPs, and Bob will tell you this, when it comes to DPs, he actually isn't the guy for DPs. It's Bill Manning. Bill Manning is the one that makes the big decisions when it comes there. Obviously, he'll take input from Bob, but Bill Manning is the one who's pushing those deals across the line, because obviously, when you talk about DPs in Major League Soccer, especially in this market, a lot of it is due to commercial value and what they'll do to the club, how they'll get butts in the seats, how they'll reignite this fan base when you're competing with the Leafs, Raptors, and Jays as well. So, yeah, it is Bob Bradley's club for sure. I think he has the respect of his players, but I wonder, again, how long he stays on as head coach.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's a really good point, isn't it? And there's all this talk about his son taking over at some point the helm. Now that would be a big jump from playing to head coach, but we know that's probably the way Michael wants to go, see his career going. How much gas has Michael got left in the tank, do you think, as a player at this level?
Yeah, he's got at least one more season beyond this year. And as we all know, like I don't have to tell any of you guys, but Michael Bradley keeps himself in pristine form. Like his regimens, his routines, they're second to none when it comes of an athlete taking care of their bodies. So he can play as long as he wants to play for Toronto FC. I think this is a Bradley club. I mean, you even have Jeff there, who's the head of the comms team as well. So it's a Bradley club through and through. He's earned those stripes. He's brought this club from mediocrity to what it is now, which is, you know, a club that can in most years be seen as perennial contenders. I think he's transformed the culture at Toronto FC. Before his his father arrived here at Bob Bradley. So he has license to play for Toronto FC as long as he wants. How long he'll start for, that's a different question. I mean, this year, I think he's looked fantastic. I think he has been one of the more consistent midfielders, one of the most consistent players, let me correct myself, for Toronto FC this season. And he seems to be better, getting better as the year's gone on. He's played the most minutes for Toronto FC, played all but 10 minutes this season for TFC. So there's no reason to think why he can't keep this up for another season, especially the way that he takes care of his body. So I think at least one more year in him, Sharms, and then we'll see what's in store beyond that.
Hey, so your timeline here really matches up, because in thinking about Bob Bradley stepping aside, I can't see him doing that without having a full season with this arsenal of talent, and who knows what they'll do in the off season. Would Bob step aside and Michael take the job? Would that be his first coaching job? Because the idea of them working together like that, I mean, they've done it, you know, they've done it at the coach player level. I guess this is just the evolution of that, but I think that'd be a hard position to be in for Michael.
I think it would actually make the transition easier for Michael if that's what he decides he wants to do. I know I don't think he has his coaching badges or anything like that. So there's obviously still work to be done to get that. But if that is what he wants to do, I actually think he'd be better set up to do it here at Toronto FC, because the roster itself, you're obviously the captain of the team. So you already have that leadership ability. And I think you already have the respect of the dressing room and at least in some capacity. And then you would also have your former head coach standing right behind you, alongside you, to give you that sort of support. So I almost think it'd be a pretty smooth transition for both Michael and the club. Maybe. I've always had that theory that, you know, like you guys are kind of putting out there, that is going to be the case eventually. Because I think Michael Bradley, like Justin Morrow, who has stayed on at the club, I think these guys want to stay at Toronto FC. And if Michael Bradley has the desire to coach, there will be some sort of avenue for him to coach. Maybe the first step is an assistant, I'm here for chaos. Let's will that into the universe.
That's what this show is,
chaos. If and when it happens, Mikey, you'll have it first, I imagine. And we'll benefit on the parlay for sure. As always, great work, mate. Really enjoyed this. We talk way too much. I talk to you more than I talk to these assholes, actually. And that's too much. But great stuff. At MichaelSim94, so we can find Mikey for all things Toronto FC. Please follow him. He's usually breaking a story every couple of days or so. So get in there. He's off to training now, right, Mike? You're off to training now to break some more stories and to
think
everything we just said. Yeah, it always happens.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy training. Say hi to everyone for us. And we'll chat to you real soon.
Yeah, cheers, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mike.
Cheers. That is Michael Singh. As I mentioned, follow Michael on Twitter at MichaelSing94. I tell you what, I mean, the whole thought of Bradley succeeding his father as head coach. Okay, Jimmy, tell me, from a player to a head coach, I mean, that's a massive jump. Is it something you'd ever advise anyone?
No. No, it's not. I don't think Michael would do that right away. I think Michael would want to maybe go in as an assistant first and you know, find his feet as a coach. It is very difficult. You know, a lot of times when you see a player jump right in as a manager, because now all of a sudden you're not leading in the dressing room now. Now you're leading a whole club, and you can't make mistakes either when you're a manager. Because the players are always trying to figure you out. And for instance, myself, the best thing that I ever did as a coach was get into the academy. You know, I found my voice. I started to understand how to control a room. And, you know, with the youth players, I could make my mistakes, right? And I learn off of those mistakes. And then the higher you start going up, once you're into the first team, that's where everything that you're saying and that you're preaching, you've got to get the players to buy into. And the minute that you start messing up, that's when you start having problems in the dressing room. But there's no doubt in my mind, could I see Michael Bradley as a manager? 100% I can, because I think he loves the game. He's intent. He's a student of the game. I think he'll do a great job. I just think he's just got to, you know, go through the path to eventually get there. And I think when the time does come, I think he'd be a very good manager.
Too bad Danny Dicchio's dad wasn't the manager. Maybe he'd still be here.
I was also thinking about how Mike said, you know, there's a real transition with the guys from TFC. And I was thinking of Danny and Jimmy working on Footy Prime. And I'm like, yeah, it really worked out for our team.
Did it for us. It yeah. I'm not so much for them, perhaps, but for us. But Craig, from the player standpoint, if you're in the room with your mates and then one of those players suddenly becomes a coach, maybe an assistant coach, maybe a head coach, how big an adjustment is it for you in your relationship with that person? I'm not sure if you've ever experienced that before as a player, but I can imagine it's a big jump from being a teammate to having to kind of look up to the guy as your boss.
Yeah, especially if you have a relationship with them and that sort of thing. I've never been in that sort of position before because, like Jimmy says, you really got to earn your stripes. The experience of being a manager is completely different than being a leader or captain on a team. Like, and Jimmy's nailed that. That's absolutely the facts. But he's also in a situation that is ideal for that opportunity to slip into as an assistant, you know, because of the Bradleys there and, you know, the club is run by Americans. I mean, it's an American club.
It is, isn't it? It's definitely an American club. B, you're you know, with the proletariat every week watching that team. You have done from day one. You're a season ticket holder. You know, you've got your hand to the pulse of the fan base. Would they love to see Michael Bradley on the sidelines, do you think, eventually?
There's a group that's expecting it for sure. I don't know if they would like it in this situation, but I'm honestly... That's why I asked Michael that. I'm thinking that this is one of those unique situations where Michael Bradley strikes me as the type of guy that, yes, would do it right, but wants to get to that end goal quickly. And if that's the top job in the city he's most comfortable in with his children that are, you know, will be mid-school age now, I can just see him, you know, not wanting to have to go to Sacramento or some place to kind of get those stripes. And if it's a situation where they're already in a winning machine, I can see them trying to do it. As we speak about this, I'm trying to think of these players that went straight from playing to coaching. And I'll be honest, I can't really think of one, because there was a gap with Lampard. I can't think of one guy that has
Ryan Nelson left QPR, came straight to TFC as a head coach, remember?
Didn't finish my sentence. I can't think of one guy who has done that and stayed employed 4 years on. Ryan Nelson never took a head coaching job again, I believe.
Yeah. You are correct.
And who is Gary Monk? Was Gary Monk did it at Swansea? And
did he come straight from playing? Did he?
Mid-season. He took a player coach mid-season and, you know, he never played again.
Yeah, the player coach happens now and again, right? It happened to Kenny Dalglish in the 80s, to great success, obviously, but not often.
But with these guys, it's happening because they're going into like immediate management. And Gary Monk lasted for another 18 months and then the next job. I'm just saying that it doesn't happen that often, but I can see Michael Bradley in this situation thinking, okay, it's not going to get any better than this. And if the club is assembled in a way in which they need a little bit less, obviously Bob's still there in the guidance. There's obviously, I think, a camaraderie or a respect in the room. I don't know. I can see that. As soon as Michael said he's got 1 year left in the tank. That's why I went, oh, wait a second here. It sounds like maybe he's saying something without saying something.
I mean, it seems to me that he's got some gas, though, in the tank still. And maybe he's not going to be. Yeah, I mean, he's playing pretty well and he's had his moments this year.
I think he's got more in the tank. But Michael Singh is the expert, and he said 1 year left after saying he thinks that Bob, you know, would like to step back. That timeline works out pretty well.
You know, Michael, I mean, is he a kind of guy you think that could operate at, you know, 75%? You know, a guy that realizes he hasn't got, you know, what he used to have. Is he prepared to be a guy that could come off the bench, be a role player, or do you think he's got to have that drive to be a starter and then it's time to move on to management?
I think Michael's a very good professional, and I think he knows his body better than anybody. And I think when the time's to hang the boot up, because he can't go anymore, then I think that'll be done. I think he'll try to play for as long as he can. And then he'll probably look to weigh up the situation. I think he's in a great spot. He's in a great club that he knows inside out. And then it'll be up to Michael to decide what his next move's going to be. And I'm sure the club with with Bob and Bill, and they'll sit down and try to figure out Michael's best path so that Michael is successful. And he'll continue on within the organization at whatever capacity it will be.
Badge's question. How quickly can a man attain their coaching badges? And is it possible to do that as you are a player? Like,
yeah, you can do it as a player. Myself and Danny, we did it while we were playing.
Okay.
You know, the U.S. Federation and, you know, even the CSA to a certain extent work with professionals to help them get their licensing. And obviously they know the player schedules, and a lot of the time during the off season, they'll come and work with them. Or even sometimes the federations will come to the clubs to work with you. So he can do it while he's still playing. And that was the best thing for me and Deitch, whereas we did it while we were still playing. So as soon as we retired, it was like, okay, we can go straight and coach now. And that's why we went into the academy, because the last thing you want to do is finish playing. And then it's going to take you a couple of years as well now to start getting your licensing. You want to do it.
Of course, Deitch was always injured too, which would have helped his classroom time.
Running around on that turf.
Like, you know, Deitch is like doing really well in class, you know, getting ahead of his assignments because he's never playing.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. I didn't look at his notes.
You wouldn't be able to read them.
Yeah. Just dicks all over his papers.
You can see it now.
One thing about Michael Bradley, guys, though, is that, you know, his playing style, he never relied on blistering pace. You know, he's a reader of the game. He's a passer. He's the type of player that can play longer than somebody who relies on their pace. So that gives him that as well. But also from a manager's point of view, I think he's smart enough to know, and he knows that the average manager lasts less than 2 years. So you want to be well prepared when you do get that job. I think that would be fair to say, eh, Jimmy?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think, you know, with Michael as well, you know, it's like a little bit of a new lease of life for him as well with the players that he's playing with, you know, because they make his job easier because of their movement. And, you know, he's on the same wavelength mentally, right? When he's playing now. So it does make it easier for him, as opposed to playing with someone that's not experienced. And then all of a sudden you're going, fuck, where's this kid making a run now?
And it must add a lot of pressure on Bradley, Michael, as well. When your dad is the manager, you have to perform at a level where the fans aren't saying, come on, you shouldn't even be starting. That was a case that you really don't want to happen at TFC. And it's not, because he deserves
to
be
after a while.
Get used to it after a while.
When your dad says, nah, you're not playing for me, son. You can go on that team over there.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I have to leave on the couch.
I have to leave, boys. I'll let you guys continue the podcast with the picks. Don't forget to mention Fubo on North Star Bets, okay? Because I'm not hosting right now, and I know you need me to lead you usually. So have a great end of the show, all right, fellas? And we'll talk again. We've seen a lot of each other the last week or so. We need a couple of days off, so that's good.
Yeah.
But we'll speak on Sunday.
We'll see you Sunday.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
It's funny, right? The situation here with Sharms, it's kind of like Bob Bradley and Michael Bradley. You know, Sharms is kind of like my dad, gave me my start, keeps the leash real short. I feel like I always have to overperform to get to this level, right? Because when he's away, I can't have people be like, oh man, that show sucked. What was the difference? Sharms was gone. Yeah, the kid Dunlop, he's not at that level, you know?
Yeah.
Now, look, he doesn't even trust me to get the mentions in, right? He's got to shoehorn it in there, make sure we talk about the broadcast sponsor, make sure we talk about the gaming sponsor.
I wonder if he has that conversation with his wife. You know, we spend a lot of time together the last few days. We need a couple of days off.
Yeah, is that how he breaks up with his wife for the weekend? Same way he just did it for us?
Yeah.
Like, hey, fuck off.
Yeah, but it's so funny, right? Notice, so he's so irritated with us calling him grumpy, right? You know, like that, Jimmy, you said that promo had you in stitches. It's definitely the one where you're like, good morning, grumpy. And he's getting these, I'm not a grumpy person, right? He's getting sick. So then I come in, you know, having just taken the bins out. I was like late with a coffee. I'm trying to be professional, scramble to see Mike. And right away he goes, oh, look who's late and unprofessional. Look who's in a bad mood. And he made me in a bad mood. I wasn't in a bad mood. Made me in a bad mood. Why?
You just looked like you're in a bad mood.
I have to say something though. Michael Singh, when he was doing the comparison of the competition that TFC, when he said, you know, they have to compete against the Raptors and the Leafs, and he said, and James. And it, he said Jays, but I thought he said James. And I went, oh, he's putting Sharms up on this new level, this pedestal. And I saw Sharms. I think his head grew a little bit because I think Michael Singh has to report to Sharms, where we don't have to report to Sharms. So,
oh, a little brown nosing going on there.
I think there was some nosing going on right there. No, there
was. I'll tell you what it is, because trust me, I've been there. When you're in the shadow of Sharms, you just feel so blessed to like learn from him, right? And it comes from growing up watching him on television. This is what it is. So I can imagine. I see a lot of myself in Michael Singh because I've been there. I know what it's like to feel like, I can't believe I'm working next to one of my heroes. But I give Mike another 6 weeks.
This is one of our promos, you know, just us bashing Sharms. This is amazing.
And as far as his head, it's always big. It's just he's just got a big head.
Yeah. That's why he doesn't like to, you know how he says, he's like, oh, I don't like to wear hats because he can't get one that fits.
Yeah. I don't think Sharms would ever in his life hire me and Stax, because we imagine him as our boss and we would just take the piss out of him every day.
He's like a caramel apple or a candy apple, just a big head.
I've never heard that one before, actually. That is a good one.
It's like an orange on a toothpick.
I love that line as well. Michael Singh had a really good article about Domenico Crescito memo in on the parlay. So I think we may have tweeted that out. If not, I will tweet that out. But it was a good read, good write-up, just about how, you know, for a considerably older guy, it's very noticeable that he's one of the most electric players in the league overnight. And I said this about that Charlotte game, and you could see it before as he got in there with the energy. Like 90 minutes was clearly easy for him. The guys kind of learning around him, but that first 45 minutes with Insigne, Mark Anthony Kay was out there, Jimenez, the movement from Crescito was unbelievable. And with Insigne there, finally someone who was thinking at the same speed that he was thinking. Mm. I think that the team's only going to get better. And I didn't get to it when Michael Singh was on, but honestly, he made reference to Sounders 2016. This team gets in the playoffs, which I think they will. They get in as the last seed. I'm not betting against them going to the final.
But good test this weekend, AB?
Yeah, good test this weekend. Is this you ushering me into footy picks?
I was just thinking about what Michael said about undefeated since May. And, you know, if you're going to test yourself, we've seen this. They're still 13th or 14th. And they've got, it's not so much, hey, we're 6 points behind a playoff spot. It's there's six teams in between them to get to the playoff spot. That's the challenge.
I think they still have runway, but the margin for error is very slim.
Yeah.
And you've got to be smart. But I mean, Portland is, you know, I think Portland's been better, to be honest. This is kind of an ideal time, I think, to go up against them, because they do seem like they're hitting their stride, TFC, this new unit. And you look at the bookies' lines, and this is going to happen a lot. I've said this before, that MLS lines have always been a bit skewed. If you are someone who's watching other games and other teams in particular, you see a lot of value. These lines say that Vegas is expecting TFC to take a lot of money, which is going to be the case the rest of the season. They're minus 115. Mm. I don't think Portland's usually in that situation.
Bet on North Star bets? Is that what we're talking about?
Of course it's on North Star bets. Nice. The only odds out there, Dan Wong.
I like that. I like hearing that.
I think they're getting in. I think they'll get in.
You do, eh?
Yep.
And look, there's some good teams in the East. It's possible they run into someone and, you know, a one-game scenario that they can't handle. It's not their night. But I don't think there's a team in the East that wants to see them in the playoffs. That's for sure.
You watch the way that they play as well, the difference when they play on turf and when they play on grass. It's like,
yes.
It's night and day. Vancouver, I thought, you know, not the best. New England, and then all of a sudden in Nashville, they start moving the ball around, and it plays completely different. It suits them.
Totally. How much of that is experience, Jimmy, like actual individual player experience and knowing the weight adjustments and knowing the run?
It's everything, because it plays completely different than what grass does. You know, grass, you can go out and normally before the game and halftime, you know, the sprinklers are out, they flood it. And it plays slick. It plays really good. Sometimes with the turf, you know, your bounces are different. The way you go to strike a ball is a little bit different because the baubles are not the same as what they are in grass. And you got a lot of guys that have never even played on that turf before in their life. And all of a sudden now they're playing a competitive game.
Right. It gets stuck in your feet too.
It gets stuck in your feet. You can. I remember even was it in Vancouver? You know, Insigne's got a free kick and he tries to wrap it and just didn't hit it properly because of the way that the ball's sitting on that turf. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you see him on grass and it's night and day the way he's striking it. It plays so different. It really does. And so, if you're not used to it, it's a disaster. It's horrible.
So what you're saying is if I move my co-ed league all-stars off turf to grass, I'd be better?
I think they'll be better, yeah. But it's for yourself. I'm not sure, Dunlop.
hey, guys, did I tell you about the tira giro that I hit the other night? Let me tell you.
Tell us what that means. I don't know what that means.
Well, I've told every one of you individually multiple times on Wednesday about
no,
this.
No, tira giro, though.
I know how that means. You know how educating Wonger with soccer terms. This is a new segment that we do every day. A tira giro is the kind of trademark shot that Insigne hits where he puts a certain level of spin on the ball that has it curve at a very strong angle. And he scored a gem at the Euros. It's kind of his deal. So I don't score many gems. This didn't go in. It hit the corner. But hell of a hit, I tell you, boys. Hell of a hit.
Nice, man.
Sorry, it didn't go in?
Correct. It didn't go in. It
hit he was corner. Bragging about the shot.
Are you fucking having a laugh? You're bragging about the ball didn't go in the back of the net.
I hit a tira giro from like 20 yards out.
Who gives a shit? You didn't score.
Progress. Measurements in progress. If success, you tell someone this is how you're raising your kids, be like, you know, success is a job, is a career, kids. If you're not making six figures, you're failing. Is it that? It's just the bar has to be so high for success. I think there are incremental measurements. It starts with, I got up today. And then I got to the field and I was able to run for 50 minutes in this game.
When you're talking football and you're talking these stories, right? The ending's got to be a fucking goal. You go, oh, I struck it. Beautiful. Missing it by 5 yards, but imagine it was on 5 yards to the right. It would have been in. It would have been.
Yeah, I described an Insigne and I was like, oh, this is going to be good. Like, oh, it didn't go in. You didn't say that the other day when you were telling me all about it. Took you 10 minutes to tell me the story. I never heard. I would just presumed it went in.
It's unbelievable. Yes. But what if it dipped in? What if my aunt had a dick? She'd be my uncle.
She's That's not, right.
Though, right?
Hey, I was running for this bus and I missed it, so I walked.
Yeah, but I was really close.
Oh, actually, Jimmy, you might want to check with your aunt.
I hope she's not listening. She'll kill me.
There's a clip of Don Cherry actually saying that in a scrum. It came up on Twitter the other day. It's in the 70s with the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
What a line. Let's do some footy picks, eh? What are we doing for elements now? Are you dropping in?
I sent myself something to drop it in, but I can't. My phone. I just got that new phone fixed. So this is everyone. My phone's been, and I've been using Brendan's backup phone, his iPhone 7.
Maybe next time we'll get you a new cable for your microphone.
Wow. We actually came up with an idea.
It's footy picks. It's footy picks. It's footy picks. On footy prime.
What's going on?
It's a disaster.
What a nightmare.
Yeah, wait till you listen to that back. That sounds lovely. You know what that's? That's the technical equivalent, JC, of phlegm. If a microphone had phlegm, it would be, or cold, a viral infection. It would be what Wonger just had.
We got to get Wonger a chain that attaches from his waist to his phone. Because he loses his phone every other day.
Or a purse. We can get him a big purse.
No, he'd lose that. It's got to be attached to him.
I'd lose that. Am I still clicking?
You spoke for a second and a half.
All right.
What measurement is that?
Am I still clicking?
No, it sounds better, buddy.
Okay.
Thanks for tightening it.
The Band-Aid worked.
Okay, let's do footy picks here.
While you're up first, were you watching Fubo TV? If you need to jump on Fubo TV this week. Because it's the second week of match week. It's the second match week. FuboTV.com/footyprime. Help us. And if you're doing any wagering, NorthstarBets.ca/footyprime. B, you've got what game?
I'm going to go Chelsea Tottenham, which is the Sunday game, the flagship game on Sunday, in which we will be doing halftime and post game shows on Twitter and YouTube. So check that out. Chelsea are home. They're getting 30 cents plus 130. I got to be honest. I think this is a real tester for Spurs. And I think Spurs is a more complete team right now. And I think they've been looking at this game since the fixture list came out to want to come out strong and on fire. And the way Dejan Kulusevski alone, in addition to Sonny and Kane, has started this year and the form he looks like he's in, he's going to be hard to handle. So I'm going to go Spurs plus 220.
Did you know that Jeff Cole is a Spurs fan?
Yes, he picked them to challenge for the Premier League title.
Yeah. Just wanted you guys to know that.
We did a one-hour Premier League season preview show with him.
Yes.
He said that.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure everyone knows that Spurs, because not a lot of people like, I know there's a lot of people like the Spurs in Canada, but not a lot of people like the Spurs on our show.
That's true. Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of Tottenham fans in the chat, in the primer forums.
No.
Is what you're saying?
No, not a lot.
I respect the team they've got right now, though.
Yeah. They're a good team right now, don't you think?
Mm. That sets up well this early in the season, that game. Chelsea, Spurs.
Wow. They look strong. They're deep. They've made a lot of signings to, I think, just increase and improve competition for places, which has got to be good for upping the level, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Makes for good radio. I like it.
Well, we've got.
You know what I was laughing at to myself? Because you guys kept on going, the Spurs.
I didn't. Oh, that's not me.
That's Wonger.
Wonger.
Sorry.
I like the Spurs.
It's just Spurs.
Yeah. You know why? There's not a lot of the Spurs fans on the show. When David Robinson left, the whole franchise changed. And it's just,
when Sean Elliott went down on the court to have a microphone in front of him,
they've just
Spurs, Wonger.
They're not as fundamental as they were when Manu was there. Running things.
I get it.
That's what Wonger's all about, man.
What is this called? The Forest Brennan Derby.
It would be called the Craig Jimmy Derby.
Yes.
It's been a while.
Well, let's get at it.
Forest against West Ham.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Jimmy Craig Derby, because Forest are at home. Yeah. Forest are plus.
I'll let you go first, Jimmy.
I'm taking Forest. Think? Forest win. For the win, 2-1.
Plus 330 for the win, Forest.
2-1. At home. The place is going to be rocking.
Yeah, I think the energy in that building is going to be incredible. So I'll take a draw on that one. I think West Ham will get something from the game.
Plus 270 for
kick the shit out of Lingard. Tough start for Forest against Newcastle. I thought that was a difficult play. Talk about energy in a building, St. James's Park, amazing. They didn't really challenge. They didn't really create many chances. The Premier League is a different animal. New signings everywhere. Cooper's got to put this team together quickly. They got their challenges, Jimmy.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. What's your game, Wire?
My game is a Brentford and United. And just exciting for me, I'm going to take the over. The last, the over's 2.5, but the last three games were 3-0, 3-1, and 2-2. So they've gone over the entire time. And the last, having a draw gives Brentford. I mean, United's a mess. I would even say if I was even going to bet a little more, I'd take the plus 280 for Brentford and the over to do a parlay for fun.
Of course, he's confident, right? He thinks they're going to be top six this year. They started with a draw. They got United.
I just think they're going to chat. I think they're going to do what. Remember when Ditch was talking about Southampton and they ended up being seventh or eighth when they got brought up. And I just kind of thought, you know what? Brentford's going to be in that zone where they could be competing for the old Europa.
Not a fucking
chance.
Yep, they are.
Nowhere near, buddy.
Yep, they are. Just keep. There you go.
That's like these idiots saying, is Man U getting relegated or they're going to be. No, come on. For fuck's sake. Chance. What are you talking about, people?
Did you see that tweet? Is that why you're referring to that? There was a podcast, the Footy Fans. They did a video saying that.
What are you talking about?
United maybe conference.
Yeah, yeah, I think United will be playing in the conference.
Hey, tell me about that whole stay at a Trafford thing going on, that movement.
The fan protest?
Yeah, tell me about that.
That continues?
Yeah.
The worse this team performs, the louder those get off the pitch, right? If you remember when we did the Super League fallout shows,
yeah.
Once the transfer window opened again, you know, the season kind of finished, and once the transfer window opened again, Deitch or Sharms had said they could do themselves a lot of good and win back the fans if they went out and did something like bring in Harry Kane. And they didn't do that last year, of course. They brought Ronaldo back, but it didn't work out. They're not playing in the Champions League. They had a disastrous start with a brand new manager. And there's just a giant sector of fans that, you know, wants to be vocal and wants change. And these owners have kind of had it coming for years. It's just a building.
So it's an ownership play and a management play.
No, the fans want the owners out.
Right.
I think they can ride with Ten Hag now, but they believe that the club is rotten from the top, and they've wanted the Americans, the Glazers, who own the Bucks, out for forever. So when you see the yellow and green, that was Manchester United's original. That was the club's original colors. So they want it to go back to the purity that was before. Essentially.
Thank you.
Education with Dunlop. Another segment. All right. Did we hit all the picks then?
I think we hit all the picks, unless JC has one that's squirming. Did you have something to say?
No.
Great show. Well, thank you to our guest host, James Sharman, for making time at his, as he said, real job to join us here on this semi-professional podcast. It's very kind of him to do
semi-pro. I like that word, semi-pro.
And to bring in his protege, Michael Singh, who could very quickly replace him if he just got out of his own way. James Sharman. In the meantime, between time, if you haven't listened to our last episode, which where we recapped and went down a very thoughtful I would almost say, you know, mildly inspiring road, have a listen to that one. It was a good one. I do have one review, by the way. Can I get this in before we wrap up? It's not for the mail sack because it came via text message, but it said that. Hold on, I think I've written this down word for word here to get this right. You guys really need to get off your asses and do these videos you keep talking about, because you're going to get to a point very quickly where your listeners don't trust you, because you don't realize, what you don't realize is you've basically just been teasing everybody about it the whole time. Don't be assholes.
Did Elena write that to you?
No, that was my dad.
Oh, okay.
that was Mr. Dunlap. So.
Well, right. I asked Craig. He is right. But I asked Craig to go golfing, and Craig goes, "I can't, my back." So we're gonna have to put a pylon up to play for Craig. We'll put him in front of the net, and that'll be Craig. He'll just stand there.
Maybe he just didn't want to go out driving to some bullshit country farm to go golfing with you in the sun for 4 hours.
Jeez, who wouldn't want to do that?
No, I have this love hate's not the right term. It's like tolerate that it exists hate relationship with golf. I've always had this, you know that. It just comes from that. It's definitely a jealousy that I'm shit and I can't get any better. I can't hang on the course with you guys, which means I can't hang off the course with you guys. Basically,
look, I'm the guy that I'll golf 12 holes. I'm buzzing. I'm happy. After that, I start hitting a brick wall and balls are going everywhere. But then when you go over Forrest and then he's like, let's go play like 72 holes. And you're like, what? I'll play 12. You go play the other 50.
Yeah. I wonder why my back's sore.
60.
That could be it. When are we getting the movie theater? When are we booking the movie theater out, Craiger?
For what?
You forgot about that quick, didn't you?
For your charity.
We'll run the tape back. Yeah.
Right.
Charitable donation for your indiscretions. Yeah. We'll figure it out. But yes, Primers, we've had a lot of great content over the last week, and we're going to do it on YouTube and Twitter again on Sunday during the headline match on Sunday. So continue to like and subscribe. And yeah, if you want to watch these games, you can do so on Fubo this season, FuboTV.com/footyprime. Help us help you help us. I think that should be the new tagline. Till then, cheers for listening. Keep buying newspapers.
join the conversation on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.